May the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. Amen. The word of God for meditation this morning is from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 and verses 6 through 9. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the just decrees that I am teaching you, and do them, that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and just decrees, so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, unless they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Thus far, our text. In the name of Jesus, whose love does not change, whose salvation does not change, dear fellow redeemed, it's amazing how quickly things change, isn't it? Over the last lifetime, we have gone from corded phones stuck to the wall to some of the most powerful computers that can fit in your pocket. Our knowledge of medicine has ramped up, and as a result, the life expectancy has shot up by nearly 20 years. You could hardly find a town in America today that doesn't have a gas station and fast food restaurant, or at least a small diner. The list of change in this world really seems to be endless. And it happens in just about every aspect of our lives. In many ways, for the better. In some ways, maybe for the worse. But how should we deal with change? Should we welcome it or fight against it? Well, it really depends on what it is that is changing and how much control you have over it. There are some changes that are out of our control. You don't notice a change until it is too late. And that can be a very dangerous evolution, can't it? Things that slowly evolve underneath your nose till you wake up one day and nothing is what it used to be. Well, whether you have noticed it or not, that has become Satan's number one way of attacking God's word and the church. Slowly but surely, weaving in a tiny error here and a dash of false doctrine there, until the church's teaching is unrecognizable. Even the church is susceptible to change. Most often it changes due to the evolution of society in which it resides. Churches adapt to the ideology of the day to stay relevant and appear more accepting to the world around them. How should we feel about such change? Well, it really depends on what the change is focused on. Changing the pews or painting the walls. Well, that might be a change that is welcomed. But changing the teachings of God's word to fit in with the world around us, well, that is a change that is to be resisted with all our might. God's word is the one thing that is immune to change. Think of passages like Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Or Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will by no means pass away. And there are countless other passages in Scripture that talk about the longevity and the unchanging nature of God's word. And the reason for which is found in our text this morning. With Israel on the verge of crossing into the promised land, and Moses knowing that his death was imminent, he took the time to remind the people of God's unchanging commands. He urged them to remain obedient to the Lord and to teach his statutes to generation after generation. Moses reminded the people that the Lord had given them statutes meant for eternity. This was not the first time that Moses urged the people to remain faithful to the Lord and to shoot down change that might come from the outside influence. And it wouldn't be the last time that Israel needed such a reminder. Joshua, too, urged the people before he died to serve the Lord faithfully, and he would continue to be their God. And it was the whole point of the law in the first place, to keep the people away from the paganism around them. God gave Israel the law, both their ceremonial laws and the moral laws, to form a bubble around his people. And not only was this bubble to protect them from false doctrine that would try and seep in, but it also served as their tool for evangelism. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." In a land that is surrounded by paganism and polytheism, a nation that worshipped one God and had direct evidence of His hand working in their lives and did not engage in the passions of the flesh like everyone else, well, that would stick out like a sore thumb. The people around them couldn't help but notice how different Israel was. And it gave Israel the opportunity to witness to them about the one true God. And the same is true today. Though we are not surrounded by the same type of paganism or polytheism that Israel was, it's still prevalent in its own way. America is a melting pot for all sorts of religions. Religions that don't follow the one true God. A people that remains faithful to the teachings of God rather than adapting to the religions of the world will stick out like a sore thumb. And it will give us an opportunity to repeat the words of Moses. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon Him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and just decrees so righteous as all this law that I'm set before you today? Alas, God knows the sinful nature of man better than we do. He knows how quickly the temptation to adapt to the world around His people can sprout up like leaven in bread. As such, He used Moses to give them a stark warning. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, unless they depart from your heart all the days of your life. This people had spent the last 40 years wandering in the wilderness because their fathers did not trust the word of the Lord, namely that He would give them the land that He promised to them. The people were scared of the inhabitants in Canaan. And as a result, they had to wander in the wilderness for another 40 years. There's only two people from that generation who saw the promised land, Caleb and Joshua. They were exceptions because they did remember all that their eyes had seen. They remembered how the Lord provided for them in the wilderness. They remember seeing His glory on top of Mount Sinai. They knew that the people in Canaan was just a small feat for the Lord, and they could put their trust in Him. And for the rest of the people, Moses urged them to remember what the Lord had done for them. And as they would see the power of the Lord's hand working in their favor against the nations of Canaan, implant that into their memory for when they face a far different enemy, that enemy of change to their worship of Jehovah. And that last enemy is the one that we face today. It is an enemy that is unseen by human eyes. During World War I, America employed a tactic that was already in use by the British called razzle-dazzle. The idea was simple. Paint their ships in zebra stripes or in bright colors in order to distort the enemy's view of the ship's position. It could provide them with the valuable seconds needed to gain the upper hand. Well, the enemy that we face as a church works in a similar way. They employ razzle-dazzle to its false doctrine. What do I mean by that? Well, it is nothing new. Satan employed the same tactic with Jesus in the wilderness. He twisted Scripture in an effort to get Jesus to sin. And Satan will misuse Scripture to distort one's view into thinking that the error creeping in isn't really an error, but it's something that falls under God's command to love your neighbor. Think of all the churches today that sport the pride flag in their windows, advocate for abortion, and things like that. Rather than remembering what the Lord has done for all people and remembering His statutes, they get blinded by the name of love to let these false teachings slip into their teaching. There are no exceptions to whom Satan will try to bring his error. Mounting pressure from the neighboring community, desire to boost up church attendance numbers. Why fight what you can't stop? At every turn, we face this great temptation to let our guard down, to give in to the world around us. But in doing so, we put ourselves in danger of forgetting what God has done for us, our salvation. Satan is never satisfied with just one error slipping into the church. He wants to destroy its foundation. He will attack the doctrine of justification by grace through faith. Any way that he can get you to lose that truth, he will exploit. And in the words of Jesus, what will it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? The only gain to be had is hell. What is our defense against the increasing pressure of Satan's attacks? Remembering God's statutes meant for eternity. For the children of Israel, it wasn't just remembering the Ten Commandments and all their laws of purification. It was also God's command regarding things like the Day of Atonement, the day where the sins of all the people were laid onto the scapegoat and it was sent out from their camp. An image of God's forgiveness that would become more concrete when Jesus died on the cross for all mankind. They had the gospel too, and it was their strongest defense against the pressure of the nations around them. You have the same gospel. And your command is not to offer an animal sacrifice once a year. Yours is much better than that. God's command for you is an evangelical one, an invitation. God's command is found in the words, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." And also, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it." Remembering God's commands for you is not just a matter of the law. It is remembering that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins and rose again so that you could be declared not guilty before God. "You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you." There is nothing more for you to do. Nothing to add, nothing to take away. Jesus accomplished it all for you. He is your defense against every flaming dart of the evil one. And Jesus does not fail. Moses saved perhaps the most important command for last. If the people wanted to ensure that faithfulness to the Lord would continue, make them known to your children and your children's children. They needed to instill these truths in their children. Because it is the next generation that are faithful stewards of the statutes of God. It is our duty to instill in them the knowledge of their Savior, of His love, and of His unchanging nature. We cannot stop the world from changing, but that doesn't mean it has to change every aspect of our lives. Especially when it comes to our faith. The Lord has been faithful to us, and He will continue to do so. There is no good thing that the world can give you that God does not already do. And so remember the Lord. Remember what He has done for you and all people. Remain steadfast in His grace. Amen. Please rise. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.